Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. Excited to be back, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Just like you, Josh, excitement reigns. The FPL game is back. The site is live in true FPL fashion. It is live but deeply flawed. This Ballyhoo draft game, where is that?
Next week. Next week the draft game's coming.
Have you tried to boot up the app on your phone yet?
Oh, I wouldn't dare do that for a couple more weeks, Brandon. You're hurting our chances of getting them on to do an interview.
That's true. FPL officials, if you're listening, smashing job with the launch. I mean, all things considered, to launch a game of this size with all the managers sort of pouring in, it's impressive. I guess we should cut them a little slack.
Sure. We can if we want to. I mean, the fantasy is basically like a marketing arm for them. So, you know, they're doing fine. The game is in great shape. The fantasy game is also in great shape.
It is. It's just like the way that the Premier League, people love writing in on how we pronounce Premier. Should we have a little lesson on how to pronounce Premier? You say Premier, Josh.
Premier? Is it Premier? I honestly don't know how to say it right, and I don't know how to.
I just feel like the Premier League shoots themselves in the foot because it's all this buildup. Like, there were 2 weeks of like, oh, guess what Gareth McCauley's price is going to be? The game is going to launch any day now. Right. And they're pumping up this draft league, and there are lots of mixed messages, I feel. We're both marketers by trade. I think we'd like a seamless launch of the game.
But. Well, okay, I might beg to differ a little bit. I actually thought the social media was pretty decent this year.
There was so much more of it, which is welcome.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, they didn't even announce what day the game was going live, which was a little strange. And I'm not sure if that's because they didn't know themselves or what exactly. But I had a feeling it was going to be this morning. I actually, like, the first thing I did when I woke up was log onto the site and auto pick my team so that I can get the lowest number possible for my team number.
Okay, should we announce what our numbers are just so people know that?
I think I'm like 14,040 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm somewhere similarly in the 12,800 range. But it's like, I'm trying to think of what you could compare it to, but it's very much the first day of school, like, oh, which classroom are you in? And everyone is, which is amazing. I was on Reddit this morning, and there was some guy in the thread who actually got number 4, which I don't know how you even do that. There must be like 25 guys that work in the FPL office that have dibs on those spots. So well done to whoever you are. I hope you're listening.
I thought 14,000 was pretty good for the U.S. I mean, I wasn't going to wake up at, like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning to do this. So
We're at a distinct disadvantage.
Brandon, before we go any further, I just want to – a couple things I want to throw out there. One, this is the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. We are both Americans. I am Josh. You are Brandon.
Yes, that's true. Yep. Yes, we both correct. Have U.S. passports.
U.S. passports. And we do a weekly podcast on the Fantasy Premier League game. We've both been playing for a long, long time. We're both friends in real life.
Believe it or not, yeah.
Yeah, acquaintances. No, we're friends. We're friends.
Yeah, we've known each other for well over a decade.
Years now, yeah. Longtime friends, been playing the game in our mini leagues and public leagues and you name it for a long, long time. So we talk about the game every week, and
we're also like two grossly competitive people, and I think we've been that way even before we started playing the FPL game.
Yeah, with each other in particular. So if you enjoy watching two people who are sickly competitive with each other talk about their fantasy teams each week, to the point where we don't even fully reveal what our transfers are to each other, even though it would make it for a better podcast, we won't do it out of sheer spite and
let's be clear, the spite and competitiveness goes many layers deep. We first met because some people know this story. We first met because we dated the same girl.
It's true. Exactly.
So
exactly.
There you go. There's a little window into the nature of the banter you hear on the Always Cheating podcast.
Exactly. So it's a weekly podcast. We have the Hail Cheaters Super League, which is a free public league that anybody can join. The league code is up on our Twitter feed. It's also on our Facebook page. Twitter is twitter.com/hailcheaters. That's HAILCHEATERS. And then Twitter or Facebook, excuse me, we're facebook.com/alwayscheating. If you ever want to email us, we're hailcheaters@gmail.com. And we also have a Patreon supporter page, Brandon. And I bring this up right at the top of the podcast for one big reason, which is that a lot of people have been asking about...
I'm scratching my chin right now, waiting for this one big reason. Do tell.
Yeah, last year we had a head-to-head league that a lot of people really enjoyed playing, and it was called the Always Cheating Showstoppers League. And it was a relatively small league, I think we kept it under 50. It was, you only play everybody once, but then we had playoffs. So after 35 weeks, the top 8 teams made the playoffs. I happened to win, but that's of no importance here, but I bring it up again because it makes me feel
good.
Nobody
even remembers that you won.
So we are, the head-to-head league is now going to be a Patreon supporter exclusive. So if you go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, you can learn more about it there. We put it at one of the absolute, you know, lowest pricing tiers. But if you want to play this year, you go there. Anyone who is currently a Patreon supporter at the $3 or $5 level, you're automatically going to get entry into the league. You don't have to resubscribe or do anything. We'll just automatically send you the code for the head-to-head league.
What about me?
Yeah, are you a supporter? You're actually not, Brandon, so we might have to
shoot.
Yeah.
I thought I got grandfathered in just by being here, but apparently not. So you're tough. You're a tough customer.
Yeah, we got a couple of developers. We're also going to do a survivor pool this year in our Patreon league. We did one in the second half last year. It was a lot of fun.
I'm a huge fan of the survivor game because it's like very low impact. I mean, don't tell this to Dave Wegner Lodahl, who won the survivor pool last year. He had all sorts of charts and tables, but it is a lot of fun. Yeah. Just pick one team a week.
I think we probably won't start the survivor pool until maybe game week 6 or 7. Just something like that. We're going to give the league a few weeks to breathe. You know, let's let it like a wine, Brandon. Let's let the league develop, and then when people are starting to get a little bummed out about their team, starting to think, you know what, maybe this is not the year I finish number 1 in the world. Then we roll out the survivor pool. So anyway, if you want to learn more about that, you can go to Patreon. And that's Patreon is patreon.com/alwayscheating to find out more. And for anybody who's listened to the podcast for a couple years now, we might do this on one or two more podcasts at the start, and then we'll leave it alone, and we're not going to bring it up every.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for suffering through our brief sales pitch here. We appreciate
exactly. it. So what else is going on? So the site is up. On this week's episode of the podcast, we are going to give a few first impressions. We've got a few comments from podcast listeners that we're going to share. We're going to talk about the new chip that's been added this year. And then we're just going to give a team-by-team look at our first impressions of player prices for each team. So this is not going to be in-depth. We're going to do team talk on later episodes of this podcast where we really dig into each team. Right now it's just, Arsenal, What's your first impression of the prices on Arsenal? Maybe we pick out one or two players that we think are priced too high or too low or whatever.
Or just right.
Yeah, exactly. Like I looked at at West Ham today. That's pretty much just right. There's no drama there.
No, there's never any drama at the London Stadium.
No, well, it's going to be it's going to be tough times for West Ham the first few weeks of the season.
It really will.
Yeah, so Brandon, let's get right into it. Let's talk about the free hit chip. What do you think about this?
It's a hard one to like fully wrap your head around, but I think I initially really liked the idea. Well, let's first say all out attack. It was not a fun ride. Nobody will miss you as a chip. Good riddance. Goodbye. All out attack.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
So just on that alone, I sort of welcome the what are we calling this chip again?
I think it's called the free hit chip.
The free hit chip. It's kind of a jarring name, the free hit chip.
Yeah.
But I like it. I think a lot of people have discussed it in very logical terms. This is going to be a great chip to use in those game weeks where there are a lot of blanks. And you don't want to totally overhaul your team just to get a bunch of West Brom dudes in to play when all your other players are blanking. And then you have to work your way out of that hole. And I can see that being a huge advantage. And I'm not sure about the debate between this chip helping or hurting casual players. I think the consensus is this is a great chip to help casual players.
Do you think we've fully explained this chip to anyone who hasn't seen it yet? I don't know if we have. So the
free lay it out.
Yeah, the free hit chip is basically, let's say you have a game week coming up where, you just don't like your squad. It's not a good fit. Maybe there's a player that everyone owns but you that you can't bring into your team for some reason who has this like amazing home fixture. Alexis at home to, West Ham or something. Or maybe it's a game week where, there's just a lot of teams that are playing FA Cup matches and, they can't play that weekend. So what you can do is you can take your entire squad and replace it with a completely different squad.
15 like you're on a temporary one game week wild card that will disappear much like a Snapchat.
What exactly? One game week wild card. And you get to field that new team for 1 week, and then once the week is over, you revert back to the squad that you had before. So it's kind of a fun idea. I think it'll be really fun. And I mean, I guess like there are some concerns about whether everyone's going to play it the same week or something. But if we have a season where there are multiple double game week opportunities, I really think that you could use it in different ways. I don't think it has to be a game week where there aren't a lot of fixtures.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does offer up some creative possibilities. Now, of course, it's easy to say now. We'll see how there will definitely be some groupthink that converges on the chip.
There always is. But I do think, and then there's some concern about whether these chips only. The reality is these chips make the game more interesting for people who are new to the game and make it more easy for the people who are experienced to do better. But I actually don't see that as a problem. And I actually think it's harder and harder for good players to have an edge. I think that there are so many, it's a little bit like the online poker boom, like the longer the more popular online poker got, the more that there was a sort of community of you know, websites and podcasts and books and whatever that explain to you kind of, you know, just ideal strategy for a number of different situations, the harder it got for players to have an edge, you know? So
is it fair to say that the Always Cheating podcast has had this impact on the FPL game?
Sure. Let's say that. Let's just say that and pretend it's true. If you're going to enjoy this podcast, Brandon, I think not you. I don't think you enjoy the podcast at all. But let's say you're someone who does. Then I think that it's got to be about just the enjoying the journey of playing the game, right? Just the sheer fun of playing the game. And, you know, I think that we're pretty serious about strategy and things like that. But I think it's really, you know, it's two friends.
It's definitely worth underlining, Josh. And as we mentioned, we're really competitive. We're huge fans of the league, have been for quite a long time. Not as long as the hardest of the hardcore. I'm looking at you, Danny Bean. But
right. The Nick Cummings, Richard Orford.
Yeah. So many of you know so much about the league. But Always Cheating exists to at once be about the strategy, but also about the fun and the experience of being a fan and playing the game. And I hope that's what Josh and I bring to you every week.
There's nothing less fun than talking about the fun of something. It is it is impossible to be fun while saying that sentence.
Yeah, have you ever met a cool person who's like, "Hi, I'm Brandon. I'm a really cool person."
Right. Yes. I agree, Brandon.
I'm a cool person.
I think you're pretty cool. You're pretty cool. Your mom thinks you're cool, and I think you're cool too.
That's really nice of you to say. Thank you, Josh.
Both of us, yeah. All right, Brandon. What about first impressions of player prices? We've got a few comments here. Some of them are very very brief, so I'll just read them quickly. Ruin Oliver says, Ruin Olivier. Just says financial crisis.
Yeah, there is like a distinct wage gap happening in the FPL prices. Lots of expensive players and a lot of cheap players, not a lot in between.
Exactly. And, you know, but it always seems that way at the start, I think. Right. I mean, as the season goes on, we always find value.
I was thinking about this, especially in the impulse when the game first launches is you're looking at the new players who are new transfers, maybe unproven, looking to see what they're priced at. But you quickly gravitate to the stars from last season, like Alexis and Hazard and KDB and Lukaku, to see what they're priced. And of course, because they had great seasons, their prices are going to be higher. And you're going to get this feeling naturally that everything is a little more expensive because it is more expensive than last year. But we finished last year replete with all this knowledge of where the value lied. And that knowledge only comes to us once the season starts.
Exactly. It's a one season rental, that knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a totally clean slate now. So
I do think that's where it benefits having played multiple seasons because, you know, looking at Leicester, for example, and the kind of regression in prices that they've had this year, there is a lot of value there. I mean, someone like Danny Simpson at 4.5 million is really, really tempting. I remember having Danny Simpson at 4 million back when he played in Liverpool. That was what, like 6-7 years ago.
He was your Jordi Amat of that season.
Well, he actually played though, unlike Amat. Andrew Ferguson says very tight budget, hard to find value, which probably favor the hardcore, should make for a great season. I agree. I didn't look at these prices and get, nervous or whatever. I got kind of excited. I thought, there's some interesting stuff going on here.
And I totally agree. I wasn't terribly intimidated by it because you're looking at these really high priced strikers. You're looking at Jesus and Lukaku and Lacazette. And it's interesting because you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to choose between. And it's hard to say who is going to be the Luis Suarez, Van Persie character this season. And I think we're going to see a lot of diversity in teams' strike force in the first couple of weeks, which is going to be fun.
Yep, I think so too. I despite our weird complaint about the fantasy game, right at the very top of the podcast, if I want to give them a shout out, I think they do a great job of pricing players very fairly. It's invariably the players are priced pretty close to where they should be, you know, year in and year out.
You feel that way about Jermaine Defoe as well?
No, he's too expensive.
I thought so. I saw a chink in that armor. Yeah,
Lewis said, defenders too expensive, mids and forwards mostly cheaper than expected. Kudze Mupatsa said, zero value players now. You know, value comes to those who wait.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I got that from a card.
From a greeting card or a bottle of Heinz ketchup, maybe. No, it's like we were saying before, it's really hard to see the value players at this stage. I mean, I think once we start tinkering around with our teams, we'll start to get ideas
exactly. I mean, I feel like, you know, today was Ruben Loftus-Cheek's day, right? Where everyone, he's like, somehow he's in like 98% of all teams. This guy who's like, I don't think ever scored a goal has he scored a goal even like in the championship or anything like that? I mean, he's just a player who we all know, right? Because he's played for England under 21s and he's played for Chelsea for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's been one of those guys who's always been on the like outer rim of the Chelsea first team. But there is this feeling around him because he didn't just ride the bench the entire time. He'd get garbage time minutes, but you still did see him play maybe get 10 minutes once a month. I think that's enough to see potential.
He scored one goal in 22 appearances dating back to 2014 for Chelsea.
That does not mean
he's not a talented player. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and he could turn out to be that value, but I had similar feelings about Jordan Ibe when he moved from Liverpool to Bournemouth at the start of last season, and I thought, here we go, Jordan Ibe, let's do this.
We were big on the Ibe train. And who was that? There was that Southampton player that we were all kind of in on last year for a while. Remember him? He was kind of in and out of the squad. Emil Pierre Højbjerg.
Oh, Højbjerg, yeah.
Emil Højbjerg. We were all very, very excited about him as a 4.5 million option. And he had
just a fun name to say.
Yeah, no goals and no assists last year.
Josh, before we get into the team-by-team quick look, we've got two more quick questions. First comes from Richard Orford, good friend of the pod, who writes us, who, in your opinion, is the most overpriced and underpriced in each of the positions? So I'll toss it to you, Josh. Is there, I mean, just name one player in your mind, in your initial impressions, that's over or underpriced?
Yeah, there are definitely a few. And I think that once we get into the team-by-team look, we'll be able to, you know, drill down to this a little bit more. But I think that Roberto Firmino at 8.5 million as a forward now, reclassified as a forward, is potentially pretty good value. I mean, I think that, I don't know, it just seems like that's like a pretty fair price, especially considering the price rises that Mane and Coutinho both picked up this year.
Yeah.
I mean, 8.5 for a, you know, a really solid squad that should score a ton of goals, that seems like pretty good value. And I think Jermaine Defoe, to me, seems a little overpriced. I mean, I know he scored a ton of goals, especially in the first half of last season, but 8 million for a Bournemouth striker seems a bit rich.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking more at the defensive end of things. I was flabbergasted that Thibaut Courtois came in at 5.5. We had predicted 6. Now, it's not a 0.5 doesn't seem like a huge gap in price, but for a goalkeeper in particular, a starting goalkeeper at a Champions League side, 0.5 makes so much difference, and I think that might be great value. I mean, depending on your feeling about needing Chelsea coverage on the wings where they were so effective, and you don't want to double up.
Or expensive keepers. I tried the expensive keeper thing last year, and it really backfired, so I think I'm going back to my, like, 4.5, 5 million tops. I mean, Pickford at 5 million is kind of interesting to me.
And at Everton, Leighton Baines, I know this guy has been just a sterling FPL asset forever, and he kind of took us off guard looking at top five defenders from last season. and he was there at number five. But coming in at 6 million, he just feels like a 5.5 to me. And wow, if he's being taken off penalties, I mean, maybe now that Rahm has left Everton, Baines is back on that duty. But I need to see more to establish him as a 6.0 defender at this stage of his career.
That whole defense felt a little expensive to me. I mean, Michael Keane at 5.5. I mean, I know he's a solid defender, but he has very little goal threat, you know. And I just don't know why you would bring in Keane at 5.5.
They actually, upon consideration, Everton could have a really great defense with Pickford, Williams, Keane, if Coleman gets healthy sooner rather than later. But then again, yeah, Pickford at 5.0, that's a slam dunk right there. I feel like he's a starting goalkeeper.
All of these new players, though, too. I mean, I think that team is super interesting, and I think there's a lot of interesting fantasy implications on that team. But it feels like that could be a team that could lose some, like, real stinkers the first half of the year as they kind of figure out how to integrate. I mean, that squad could have, like, five new starters by the time the season starts.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to the team-by-team breakdowns, but one last question, and I think we'll take a break. It comes from Harry Haslam. Is it a good idea to save a bit of cash going into game week one to pick up the in-form players early on when everything is messy? So this is an interesting idea. Do you have the discipline, Josh, to keep a little money in your piggy bank when putting that game week one squad together?
I don't think so. realistically, no. I think that as the season will get closer and closer, I know the way that I'm going to start tinkering with the stuff. It's actually kind of hard to do as well because, you know, when the season starts, players start creeping up a tenth and down a tenth. I mean, you know, you start to, like, you have that feeling of horror, like, on the first Saturday of game week one, where all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, you know, Riyad Mahrez just scored two goals. He's going to rise 0.3 in the next, you know, 72 hours or whatever. But at the start of the season, you know, you could really only have 0.5 in the bank or a million in the bank or something like that. You know, it's a pretty large amount of money to have in there. So you know, if it was 0.3 or 0.4 or something, I could see doing it. But I don't know. I don't think I will.
Yeah, me either. I'll definitely have zero in the bank game week one, and I'll figure it out.
This is why we'll never be number one, Brandon.
Well, you can't dismiss taking point hits early in the season. I think it's a safer time period to take those point hits.
Yeah.
And you're playing the market a lot more at the start, like a much bigger market at the start of the season. There are going to be player price rises throughout the entire season, but they're all over the place at the start of the season. And if you commit to just being able to burn four here or there, I think you could be less concerned about your bank.
I think so too. There's a lot of so I think we're going to do some. We're gonna, I mean, we have a lot of. It's actually quite a bit of time before the season starts still, so we're going to do quite a few podcasts, I think, before the season even kicks off. But one thing I do want to talk about is just some deeper strategy. You know, like overall strategy. We did an episode like this last year called 10 Tips for FPL Success, and maybe we'll kind of revisit those and update it a little bit. And, you know, there are a couple of things that I want to focus on.
I'll have to go get the files, the audio files from the Library of Congress, Josh.
Please do. I actually sent it out. It's sent out into space, Brandon. So that
aliens are getting really good at FPL because of that podcast.
But I think that, you know, one thing I don't think we talked about in that podcast, but that I'm really going to focus on this year are just having the defenders who can score. I mean, I can be so value focused when it comes to defenders that I'm just, you know, it's even right now. I mean, I was talking about Danny Simpson, right? I mean, Christian Fuchs is going to start the season at 5 million, but for 0.5 more, you're getting so much more goal threat from Fuchs, right? Or at least assist threat at the very least. And so I'm going to try to actually put some money in my defense this year for the first time, possibly ever. It's just not an area that I've focused on a lot the last couple of years.
I think it's smart. I think. Yeah, last season was a great example of how defenders can change the course of your team. Having Marcus Alonso early on really gave managers huge bursts, like when he had his brace that early on, and then when we saw he was taking free kicks, really changes the dynamic of your team in ways that cheaper defenders can't.
Totally. And I jumped, like, I had this, you know, I kind of a bad start to last season, and then I jumped, you know, like, I think it was like 1.4 or 1.5 million over the last, you know, 10 weeks or so. And, you know, I was kind of at the back of Marcus Alonso and Vincent Kompany. you know, those two players were just scoring tons of goals, and it really, and it was just a lot of value there, you know, especially Kompany, who wasn't, who was so expensive that almost nobody had him.
Is it too late to have a brief reverie for Vincent Kompany, like how it looked like that guy would never be able to play a full 90 minutes ever again, and he came back and had that amazing end to the season. It's
true. I don't know if he can keep it up or not, but it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, great to see. Keep it up, Vince.
All right, and on that note, let's take a quick break.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
We're back, Josh, and here we're going to take a quick team-by-team look. This is just first impressions. As you were mentioning earlier, Josh, we're going to come back with more episodes doing deeper dives into team-by-team. But let's start with Arsenal. You're an Arsenal fan, Josh. Yeah. You're also an FPL fan. What's your first impression?
Well, I guess both of us underrated Lacazette a little bit. I think we both thought he was going to come in around, what, like 9.5 or so? I think that was my prediction.
Yeah, I totally lowballed it at 8.5. I guess it's just difficult for me to read the enthusiasm of a player coming straight out of Ligue 1. Now, I mean, other players have done it and done it marvelously. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, of course, yeah. But... That just shows my ignorance for Lacazette and 10.5. It does seem to fit for a starting striker for a team of the caliber of Arsenal. So I can't complain about that. Assuming he starts and he plays decently, then there's no gripe with 10.5 there.
Yeah. I mean, the question really is Alexis going to be on the squad at the start of next season? Okay, let's say Alexis is on the squad. Does that, to you, make Lacazette more or less valuable?
I think it definitely makes him more valuable for this reason. I really don't know what that Arsenal team is going to look like, period, without Alexis. Mm-hmm. And they've got amazing players. Of course, they're stacked in the midfield, and if Ozil remains, that still... bolsters the assist potential going into Lacazette, but right. the whole spirit of that team, for better or worse, let's be clear, revolved around Alexis and has for the last couple of seasons. So I want to wait and see if he ends up leaving. If Sanchez stays, then Lacazette seems.
Yeah, seems I think appealing. From open play, it certainly makes him more valuable. I think. If you know, Alexis was on Pens last year, at least he was once Santi went down. So Lacazette would probably be on Pens if Alexis left. So that's one factor. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see on that. I think Alexis. Okay, so I mean, we had a question from Uppercut Panda said, what to do with Sanchez. Let's just assume right now that Sanchez stays on Arsenal. What do you think about that $12 million price tag?
It's very high. I mean, we put the ceiling at 11.5. I can't say I'm really surprised at 12 because he's been such a stud in FPL the last couple of seasons. But if you're looking to bring in some heavy hitters up front, like Lukaku or a Manchester City asset, it's going to be really tough. And there are a lot of really appealing midfielders out there that we're going to talk about.
I think I like Lacazette a little more to start off the season. For one thing, Alexis, I mean, played again this summer, right? So he might get an extended break, which Wenger usually does. So I think that Lacazette is just such a natural goal scorer. He's kind of done it every year. He's a little older for he's not one of these like. He's not a 21-year-old striker who no one really knows what to think about yet. He's 26. He's had a lot of experience in the French league. They actually were looking at bringing him in last year. So I think that he is. I think Lacazette may actually be on my team at the start of the season.
Okay.
So I think he's interesting. I think that Sanchez seems a little overpriced to me at 12. Ozil at 9.5. I mean, a lot of these prices are kind of where you'd expect. I heard some people talking about Ramsey online, but I just don't see a lot of value there, even at $7 million. He only scored one goal and four assists, and 1,236 minutes of play last year. I know he's battled some injuries, but just not. I don't think he's ever really going to replicate that form from the 13-14 season where he had 10 goals.
Yeah, it It does seem really unlikely. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain, you keep waiting for him to have a breakout season and just like maintain a regular starting position.
Yeah.
If that even is a remote possibility, he could be great value at 6.0. Yeah. Though, you know, what faith do you have in Wenger doing that with the Ox?
What would be ideal is for the Ox to go to like West Ham, which I think is a club that was rumored to pick him up, and then at 6 million, he's fantastic value at West Ham.
Yeah, and did you see that Arnautovic was also agitating for a move to West Ham?
Is that right? I think people like Bilic. I think Bilic seems like a manager you'd want to play for.
West Ham also feels like a transitional club. Like it is clearly a storied club. They had to play in this huge new stadium. They've got a great fan base. And if you have eyes toward, it's like when Lukaku went to Everton. I mean, it's similar. Mm-hmm. If you want to play Champions League football, you have to at some point move away from that squad to a mid-table squad.
Right. Not much else to talk about here. The defender prices are pretty much where we expect them to be. You know, Cech is at 5.5, which is just as we predicted.
Kolasinac at 6.0.
Yeah, that was interesting, but you know we talked about him a little bit last week, and you know a lot of attacking threat from him. You know, I'm not really sure how he slots into that squad yet. I mean, I guess it depends on whether if Wenger plays three at the back, then I guess he's playing as a wing back. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how he squats it. I don't think I'd bring him in to start because I'm not sure where he's going to play. You know, I mean, I guess we'll know more when preseason starts.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, Bournemouth. What's interesting things happening here at Bournemouth?
Josh King is a forward.
Yeah.
That's new.
The Perez conspiracy said, oh, no, Josh King is not classified as a striker. I wonder if him or Defoe will score more goals.
God, it's a really fascinating question. Jermaine Defoe doesn't go to Bournemouth.
You sound breathless, like you've been.
I am breathless.
Excited about
you bring up the cherries, and and I just get all verklempt. But there's no way Defoe is not on penalties, right? Like he, assuming he's locked into the starting 11, and he's just not some sort of. I don't know. Defoe is not a type of vanity signing to help sell jerseys. He's not really that kind of player.
I mean, I like Defoe. I mean, I think he's a professional. I think he's a teetotaler. You know, I think he's like really like a like pretty on the up and up. He was really good with that kid last year, Bradley Lowry. I mean, I like Jermaine Defoe. Don't get me wrong, but he is.
Yeah, he had that really stirring video where a press conference where he was talking about his relationship with Bradley, and yeah. It totally seems like a guy, a very human guy.
But he is about to turn 35 this fall, and you just wonder, at 8 million, that just seems like way too much. I mean, if you're going to bring in Defoe, you got to bring him in for like the first 8 weeks or something, because it's not going to last, I don't think. I don't think this guy is built for, you know, a 38-week season anymore.
I agree, and then there's really no point. Josh King has got to be your man, because I think Eddie Howe would play them both together.
Yeah, there's no way they don't, right? I mean, you don't, after Josh King's season, you don't move him to the bench.
Yeah. And it's an attacking signing, so it looks like Eddie Howe will be targeting goals here. So Josh King might be a really great third striker for you because, like I said, Bournemouth will be looking to score goals more than not, and he could be great.
Two things I want to focus on here. One is if Begovic wins that spot, I think that he is a really great option as a 4.5 million keeper. I rate Begovic really highly. Nathan Ake at 5 million, I think there's a very good chance that Ake makes my team at the start of this season.
Yeah, these prices kind of killed Bournemouth's defense in a way. I mean, guys like. Well, actually, no, Francis is still priced at 4.5. Mm-hmm. So there is still some value to be had there.
Yeah, it's a kind of an up-and-down start for Bournemouth. They play West Brom and Watford back-to-back, which is fantastic. But then they do play City and Arsenal in game weeks 3 and 4. So I don't know if I want to double up on my Bournemouth, you know, back line. But I think that Begovic could be really good for rotation if he, you know, actually wins the spot over Boric.
Yeah. Okay. So should we move on to Brighton?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. First of all, there's a guy named Dunk. Lewis Dunk.
That's gotta fantastic. Love that. That's for the American fans, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Brighton. Knockert. I've heard he's pretty good. Okay, let's own up here. We don't know shit about Brighton. Yeah. And I actually put a call out on Twitter this afternoon, but I'll put the call out here as well. If you want to write on the podcast about Brighton and about their fantasy prospects, if you're a fan of the squad, or if you just, maybe you follow the championship pretty closely, let us know. And we'll be happy to have you on, do a guest post or something like that. Maybe even have you on the podcast, to talk about that. So let us know about that. I'm just going to jump ahead here, Brennan, and I'm going to assume that the same thing applies for Huddersfield Town.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the same does apply. I mean, our friend Danny Bean was shouting the praises of Knockhart and Mui. And these are guys that they come into the Premier League having storied campaigns in the championship. But like Knockhart at 6 million, if he were at 5.5, I'd be like, yeah, I'm listening. There's something a little sexier about a promoted squad and a good attacking option that is priced lower than six. So I'm a little thrown by that.
It's a little pricey for anyone. Just drink. I mean, let us know. I mean, if you're a Knockhart fanatic, if you're a Knockhart head, let us know and let us know how wrong we are on Twitter or Facebook. Burnley. I like these prices. I don't really know what to say about these prices other than they're like exactly the same as last year.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like Jack Cork. They did update. Jack Cork just recently signed. I mean, not that he's an appealing FPL asset, but at least they're having the opportunity to make some moves in the transfer market.
Yeah, I think Ben Mee is a pretty solid player at 4.5 million. I think he's a decent option in that defense.
He's already up to 12.2% ownership, Josh.
Is that right? Yeah.
But the Volkswagen continues 6 million for Sam Vokes. He's going to be there when you need him.
Yeah,
for your free hit chip.
Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, Brandon is a massive fan of the Volkswagen. I feel like you were on the Volkswagen like bandwagon.
The Volkswagen bandwagon.
Semi pun there.
No, it was that last season of Burnley got, I think it was their first win, or it was their first great result against Liverpool. And Andre Gray and Vokes both scored, but there was something more appealing to me. I mean, maybe it was because I knew that Andre Gray was like a closet, like awful person. I mean, we're allowed to forgive him.
You just knew that, like you looked into his eyes and you knew that
I had this
allegations
feeling.
Were about to come out.
Yeah.
The worst tweets anyone's ever, Donald Trump level tweets were coming out of his Twitter feed.
Vokes is, who is that kind of fat dude that played striker for Norwich that season?
Grant Holt? No, he wasn't that, though.
Just big boned. But Vokes, he's part of that line of look at him and he just looks a little too dumpy. But then when he gets on the ball, like he has a really cultured foot. He's able to take a good shot. There's something appealing and relatable about Sam Vokes. And we hope the Volkswagen continues.
Depending on your formation, he could be a good option at 6 million. All right. Chelsea. Here we go. One of the big guns.
Like I said, my interest has peaked in Thibaut Courtois at 5.5. I was certain he was going to be priced out at 6.0 and sort of like taken off the table.
I still think 5.5 is a little eye watering for a defender.
You're kind of committing there to not have a goalkeeper rotation, and I think that's probably the better strategy is to rotate with lower priced GKs. The defense still looks pretty solid. I mean, guys like Aspilicueta and Cahill are probably definitely worth immediately dropping into your team at 6.5. Now, what about Alonso at 7.0? Yeah, too much?
We knew he was going to come in at this price. I don't know. It does seem like a little too much, doesn't it? But then, it only seems like too much because, relative to what we're used to paying for a defender. But if you watch him play, I mean, he offers a lot of attack. Not only is he occasionally in free kicks, but he also just he has like a nose for goal, you know? I mean, he gets into the box and he's a really aggressive player, and unlike Victor Moses, he actually converts his chances.
Moses to a defender at 6.5. That seems like a no-no.
It is. It does seem like Azpilicueta is a slightly better value at 6.5, but he doesn't score. He just doesn't score the way that Luis does.
Yeah, and Azpilicueta,
Alonso does. Excuse me.
Yeah, but I mean, Azpilicueta like racks up the bonus points, so almost equaling somebody's goal tally. What you get with Caesar at with bonus points could do that.
I think we're going to have to just really look at the. So let's shelve the Chelsea defender talk for a later podcast, because I think we should really look at the stats from last year. I mean, we have a lot of stats to work with now after last season, and I think maybe there's like a story there that we can pull out and talk about a little more.
Speaking of stories, the midfield, I'm really kind of at a loss as to what to do with it. I mean, Fabregas and Willian, both great players. It's very difficult to see what kind of plan Conte has going into the season. Who's starting? Who's going to be coming off the bench?
Yeah.
Pedro at 8 million. I feel like he deserved that up price.
Yeah, on Twitter, Martin Neuer asked us about Pedro, and he said, 8 million midfielder. He says, Pedro is perhaps more consistent than the City fellas, but not so sexy. And I have to say, I would not be excited about my fantasy team if I had Pedro as, I don't know, my third midfielder or something. I mean, maybe that's just a lack of respect on my part, but 8 does seem like a little too much.
Should we move on to Crystal Palace? I guess we should spare a moment for Eden Hazard, 10.5.
Yeah, that's what we expected.
We expected. But he might not be right into the squad with this injury he's got.
And Costa, I mean, we'll see if he's still there, right? He's 10.5 to start the season, or 10 million to start the season. Not terrible value.
No, not at all. I mean, if he's there, I think that's pretty decent. Yeah. The overwhelming worry about Chelsea is there's just a lot of uncertainty.
Right.
You know, all the headlines read that Conte is not getting what he wants in the transfer market. He's maybe a little upset with management. And as we saw with Mourinho, Chelsea can be a very emotional team if things aren't going their way. So there's just so many question marks.
Yeah, I mean, Batshuayi, if Costa leaves and if they don't have a replacement forward, Batshuayi is really interesting at 8.5 million.
Definitely. But Batshuayi compared to Firmino?
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's an interesting price. For a guy who, scored the goal that won Chelsea the title, 8.5, if you're comparing him to a guy like Firmino, it seems kind of wild.
He scored a lot when he's played, though. I mean, he does seem to be a real natural goal scorer. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Palace. Zaha coming in at 7.0. A lot of interesting midfield prices. This is like a solid, like, fourth midfielder team. Andres Townsend at 6.0. That seems like a good puzzle piece to fit into your midfield.
Yeah, I agree, even though I can't stand Andres Townsend. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, we talked about already, is 4.5 million. I mean, I don't know, maybe he'll end up in my squad too, but it does seem like there's like a lot of people rushing to bring him in, and I'm not sure that he's the best option in that 4.5 million range. I'm not saying I have a better idea yet, but it does seem like there's that's a scary player to bring in, because if you bring in a 4.5 million player and then they totally stink, then when players start playing their wild card in game weeks, 2, 3, 4, 5, everyone who has him dropped him, and suddenly this player at the end of your bench is worth like 4 million instead of 4.5.
Refreshing to see Scott Dan at 5.0. If he comes back... What's that?
You're not even touching that one.
I'm not touching Scott Dan?
No, my long rant about Loftus-Cheek.
There's nothing more to add. You said it all so eloquently.
You agree?
I do agree. Okay. I do agree. I mean, sometimes these guys get brought in just to bolster the squad. They've got a new manager coming in. I mean, maybe he wants Loftus-Cheek to come in and he knows he's going to play a system, but what history does De Boer have with Ruben Loftus-Cheek to to where we know he's definitely straight into the starting 11. It's difficult to say, and I think there were a lot of things that were working for Crystal Palace at different points during last season, and they all involved guys that are still there, like Benteke and Townsend and Zaha.
Benteke seems a little overpriced, doesn't he, for a team that's basically pretty bad? I feel like $8 million is like an absurdly high price.
Yeah. Oh no, he won't see probably any team in the top unless he goes on some sort of crazy run. And he does take penalties, but yeah, there's nothing appealing about that.
Yeah. Everton. Lots of new players here.
So many new players. It's pretty exciting. I think Pickford is really the standout for me at 5.0. I think him rotating with the 4.5 goalkeeper is going to be sensational. I think Everton, even though they lost Lukaku, it looks like they're really strengthening various weak points.
Except for this. Well, okay. I mean, I guess the question is, I mean, Wayne Rooney at 7.5 million. I am so tempted. I wish he was classified as a midfielder. I don't, is he going to play as a forward? I was just reading something where they were talking about how he probably will actually, because if he plays as a forward, his lack of speed is not going to like be as much of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, maybe some sort of. If Sandro gets a starting berth right out of the gate, maybe you're playing Sandro on the last defender, and Rooney is kind of just like pivoting off of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, he doesn't have to run as much, but he's not the farthest man up the field.
Yeah, I think. I mean, he's already up to almost 15% ownership. It kind of seems valid to me. I don't know. I'm kind of excited about the Wayne Rooney return to Everton.
Yeah, it's sexy. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. We love narrative.
Tom Davies, 5.5 million could be a long-term option.
Like
a fourth or, you know, I guess fifth midfielder if he was really doing well.
He just blew right by Schneiderlin with his price tag.
Ross Barkley, I don't think he'll ever make my squad again.
God, he is like just the quintessential 7.5 midfielder.
Yannick Bolasie is at 6.5. I don't know when he's actually going to come back from that leg injury. I love Yannick Bolasie. He's like the most fun player to watch. But I guess, I mean, odds are we won't even talk about him until the second half of the season.
Yeah, it's a really interesting squad. It's shaping up to be one of the more fun ones to work into your team. I agree. Rooney is such an interesting story developing.
Yeah, so we'll talk a lot more about Everton in the weeks to come. Huddersfield, we're going to skip Brandon, and let's move on to Leicester. And I see a lot of value here in this Leicester squad.
Yeah, definitely one of those squads where the prices are sort of all over the map, which is fun. It's not just 5.5 and 6 for all the defenders and 10 for all the attackers. There is this cluster of 8.5 strikers now. We were just talking about Firmino and who else were we talking? Batshuayi at 8.5, and now Vardy. So a lot of it depends on what Leicester team shows up. Is it the Leicester of the first half of last season, or is it the Leicester from the second half of last season?
Right.
Mahrez back down to 8.5. That's interesting.
Yeah, and if he ends up at Arsenal, then he's fantastic value at 8.5 million. If Mahrez leaves, which I think is definitely likely, if not probable, it'd be interesting to see who kind of steps up in his place. I mean, Ahmed Musa came over with a great pedigree and didn't quite deliver last year. But if he sort of stepped into that attacking role, then at 6.5 million, he's really, really interesting. Amari Gray is another player who is really talented, super young, has not really been able to consistently start on that squad.
Yeah, I'd read some articles that he or his agent were agitating for either guarantee us some playing time or let us go to another team. So he looks like he's ready to prove something, either at Leicester or somewhere else. And I think you're right. If Mahrez moves, that could be an opportunity for him.
And I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but I think that Fuchs at 5 million and Danny Simpson at 4.5 million are both super tempting options. And looking up and down this Leicester squad right now and seeing that the team selected by a percentage, that little drop down, it looks like there's almost no one that has ownership higher than, looks like Danny Simpson at 5.8% is the lowest, but I see a ton of value in this team. And Fuchs at 2.9% at 5 million seems way too low to me. I think that, very good chance he makes my squad at 5 million. So, yeah, I would definitely be looking at Leicester if you're looking for some value options.
I'm really curious to see what happens with Harry Maguire in this team. Does Huth step aside? Does Wes Morgan step aside?
Yeah.
Or does Maguire sit on the bench?
Yeah, I mean, because Morgan is the captain, but he's also the one who's looked kind of the shakiest, right?
Yeah, right. Huth is totally ancient as well. And nobody... true story, Josh. Nobody knows how old Robert Huth is.
He's a German, you know. You can't tell. It's got that granite face.
All right, Liverpool is up next, Josh. And obviously there's a ton to talk about here. Lots of great attacking options. James Milner reclassed as a defender. Do we get any messages about this?
Yeah, Arne Magnussen and Nick Edge both talked about Milner a little bit and how much value they see there. And it's true. Okay, so the thing about James Milner is that he's on penalties, and his value was really, you know, sort of dampened last year by not being classified as a defender, you know, and so he was kind of a midfielder who did nothing unless he scored a penalty, in which case he would pick up, you know, tons of bonus points. So now he is, you know, he's classified where he should be, but his price has sort of come along with it. My concern here with Milner is just that, you know, Liverpool are going to be playing Champions League games for the first time, you know, in a few years this season. And, you know, is he like, I think he's, you know, he's like, he's the kind of veteran you want to play your Champions League games, right? He's not going to be intimidated by the, you know, environs.
Sure.
So is he going to get rotated a little bit? Is he going to get worn out? Is he still going to be in penalties? I mean, you know, is it possible that they put someone else in pens now?
Lest we also forget, Liverpool's defense is not very good. If the Van Dijk transfer actually comes to pass, and they get somebody like Virgil van Dijk in the center of their defense, I like their odds of keeping a number of clean sheets much better, and then Milner becomes a bit more appealing. Because I'm more confident in the clean sheets, and then there's the added bonus of the penalties. But penalties and clean sheets with the defense as it is, I'm very skeptical. Also considering that rotation you were just talking about.
So you don't think Milner is probably not going to make your squad to start the season?
No, as it is, definitely not. 6.5. While I appreciate the argument for, it's just too much for me.
I'm willing to be persuaded by this. Like, if I read an article that, you know, if there's some writer out there, Brandon, some talented writer who wants to write for the website about why we should consider James Milner, please go ahead. But yeah, he's not making my squad either as of press.
Well, let's think about it this way too. So you were saying earlier, and I agree, like trying to invest a little bit more in your defense, but honestly, what does that mean? That means you're going to have fewer 4.5 guys in favor of 5.0 and 5.5.
Right. Fewer Danny Simpsons, more Christian folks.
Right. So beyond that, you really only have room for one major premium defender. And if I compare James Milner right out of the gate to Marcus Alonso at 7.0, I feel like it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree. Midfielders, they all got the bump we expected. You know, Mane is still coming back from the knee injury. Coutinho is at 9 million, which, you know, isn't terrible value, right? That's okay. That's an acceptable price for Coutinho.
Yeah, no, it totally is. I think 9.0 could be a steal if Liverpool get into full gear like they did at points last season. I mean, Emery Chan got a total diss after scoring one of the best bicycle kicks we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
He's chugging along at 5.0.
He was kind of in and out of the squad. I think that's part of the problem. And that feels like a very crowded midfield now, right? I mean, with Salah and Coutinho and Mane and Firmino. I love, by the way, that Daniel Sturridge is once again overpriced. I mean, that guy like barely played last year, and somehow he's still $8 million.
Origi also kind of priced out of the game. I mean, he was a fun guy to bring in and out when you needed a guy at 6.5. Yeah, totally. But at 7.5, if the offense looks like it did last season, I don't see that playing at all.
I did properly assess Salah at $9 million. I was happy about that. We'll see what he does, right? I mean, it's funny. I was actually in a I just got back from vacation this afternoon, and I was driving a car with our driver, and I found that he was from Egypt, and so I was trying to get some dirt on Mo Salah, and didn't get anything.
No, he wasn't a fan.
No, he's more of a. No, I just didn't really. He was more of a
handball guy.
He was a Real Madrid guy.
You know. Okay.
Couldn't get anything else.
Yeah, Lallana at 7.5. I like him as maybe a cheaper option in the midfield if you can't squeeze in Coutinho. But the pick of the bunch has to be Roberto Firmino at 8.5 as your second striker.
Yeah, I think so too. Which we've already talked about. So let's move on to the next squad, which is Man City.
Woo, Man City. Now, we had guessed that Bernardo Silva was going to be at 8.5 coming into the game. We weren't far off, but it's a better picture. He's 8.0. And if he looks as good in the Premier League as his 15-minute techno highlight reel looks.
Yeah. I think he looks, that's a good price. Sterling, I think, is a good price at $8 million.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, I think he is. The problem remains, though, all the rotation that this team is going to go through. Yeah. So to pay $8 million for a guy who's going to play, you know, three games and then miss two games, it's going to be very frustrating.
Looking through the squad, right? I mean, De Bruyne, Sané, Bernardo Silva, Sterling, David Silva. I'm skipping over Nolito. You know,
on purpose.
Gundogan when he returns. I mean, there's only so many guys you can fit in that midfield. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I guess that's just the risk you run with Man City is that you're going to deal with some rotation. But as we saw, I mean, Kevin De Bruyne was what, the fourth best midfielder last year in terms of total points.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Doesn't really matter in the end. You know, as long as they're delivering in the games they play, and you've got the kind of squad depth that can handle a rotation. You know, now and again.
De Bruyne is at $10 million, kind of exciting because he is that type of player that can come out and have that Alexis level impact on the game.
Yeah.
And if he strings a full season together, I think he's got to be in everybody's team at $10 million.
I am actually looking a little more at Sané, who, you know, I just think offers a similar threat, and it doesn't maybe not the same assist threat that De Bruyne has, because I think De Bruyne is on corner kicks. I don't know if he's on corner kicks on both sides. But I think 8.5 is a very fair price for Leroy Sané.
Yeah, I agree. And he is one of those players that saw the smallest amount of rotation last season. Yeah. He's one of the fitter, younger guys. Pep really likes him. So, yeah, I agree. That's a great alternate
or first choice. Gabriel Jesus is a pretty good price at 10.5.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is. It is, Josh. Good point. But so how do we stack Jesus' 10.5 up against Aguero's 11.5? What can you predict is going to happen with these two guys? Are they going to share the spoils?
I think that they were sharing at the second at the end of last season. So I think that will happen. I hope that one of them doesn't become like the Champions League starter and the other guy is the Premier League starter or something. That could be kind of messy. I'm probably going to stay away from these guys and probably focus on their midfield, but I don't know. What do you think?
I agree. I think their midfield is probably going to be more, I don't want to say essential.
Just more value money.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Gut feeling right now is the midfield. Obviously a Guerrero and Jesus. Jesus more so appealing because he's a little cheaper and probably will play just as many minutes. These guys could be scoring all of the goals. This conversation could be completely different in 2 months.
Yeah.
But my gut is telling me midfield right now.
All right, let's see if we can pick up the pace here a little bit. This is going to be like a three-hour podcast. Man United, David De Gea still on the squad for now. I don't know what's happening there.
I mean, he's all over their Instagram, dude, on their U.S. tour. Yeah. It seems like he's in everyone's good graces.
I think the defenders seem a little expensive. I mean, we thought the Lindelof would come in at 5.5, but buy at 6, I wish he was 5.5. I mean, I guess 6 is fair, but I don't see a ton of value there. Valencia,
6.5, yeah, that one is really insane. Insane is kind of strong, but Lindelof is pretty appealing at 5.5 if it's a classic Moo team. They're keeping a lot of clean sheets. Yeah, totally. From what I've seen of him, I think he could end up being like a bonus point magnet. And if that's your way into one of the top teams in the league, I could deal with 5.5.
Poor Luke Shaw, already with the yellow arrow next to his name.
Yeah, it says ennui. It says 75% chance of playing ennui.
All right, so I don't have any interest in Paul Pogba, even at 8 million. Unless the team changes in a way that he's playing further forward, I think that 8 million is still too much for him, given where he plays on that squad.
Pogba?
Mkhitaryan at 8 million is interesting if he's going to start.
The problem with this team, as it was last season, is there were no standout midfield players the entire season. All
a little bit at the end.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone kind of had their moment, but it all really revolved around Zlatan. And then when he got injured, it all just revolved around them squeaking out a late Marcus Rashford goal.
All right, well,
it's really hard to judge these midfielders. But Pogba, I think Pogba might be most poised to have a breakout FPL season.
Possibly. It's just his game is not scoring goals, you know. So I just think at 8 million he's a little too expensive.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm feeling him more than Mkhitaryan at this moment. Right. And I mean, speaking of Instagram, it is the Paul Pogba and Romelu Lukaku bosom buddies show all over social media.
That was so gross.
The Lukaku, they like apparently live close by and they're best friends, but it almost reads like a marketing stunt.
I know. They're like on vacation and they share the same agent or something. And it was really gross. It made me like just not want to follow sports at all. The whole thing. There's so much money now. I'm getting old, clearly. Okay. You're ignoring the elephant in the room, which is Romelu Lukaku at 11.5 million. The big issue here is that his ownership right now among people who have joined the league so far as of, you know, Wednesday night, is 47.8% ownership. You have to own him. If he doesn't, you know, I mean, maybe his ownership level is so high, I hope he gets injured. Because
Josh.
I know, Brandon. I'm terrible.
You were just saying how much you hate sports.
I know.
And then you become one of those people.
Well, I just think that Lukaku is at 11.5. I mean, he's basically going to take over that Ibra slot. He's a natural goal scorer, and he's finally playing for a squad that is full of really talented players. I mean, he scored a ton of goals on an Everton squad that didn't really have much of a midfield.
Yeah, he's just a natural finisher. I think everyone kind of has. Last season. It's crazy. You think if he was on a top four team, if he could actually challenge Harry Kane for that golden boot. But he's straight in my squad. I've just got a feeling. And he's got a lot to prove yet again. And I think he'll be ready.
I think you can't not have him, given his ownership percentage. Because if he does anything, basically, if you want to try to be number one in the world this year, if that's a goal that you at least want to harbor for a couple of weeks, you're going to have him in your squad, because if he scores like 3 goals in the first 2 game weeks, you'll never catch up, right? Basically, you're giving everyone out, because everyone's going to captain him too. So it's just going to be this huge, you know, hole that you put yourself in right off the bat.
All right, Joshua, Newcastle. I see a lot of cheap people on this squad, which is actually really exciting. The only marginally expensive person is Dwight Gale at 6.5.
I totally agree. This is a squad that is, you know, fantastic manager. They had Premier League talent in the championship last year, and they are priced like a newly promoted squad instead of a squad that really has the talent to compete and not get relegated next year.
We're total homers, but DeAndre Yedlin at 4.5, he was one of the best backs in the championship last season. He could be a really great buy, assuming he keeps his starting role.
Yeah, and the midfield, I'm not as sure about. I mean, Matt Ritchie didn't do much when he, played for Bournemouth, and then went back down to the championship, which I thought was kind of weird.
It was, yeah. I'm not sure what that was all about. When Rafa calls, you answer, Josh.
I guess so. I mean, John Joe's can be fun, we'll see.
I love watching John Joe, but I don't know that I like having him in my FPL team.
I'm a little... Gale gives me a little pause. I know how well he played in the championship last year, but I'm a little concerned about whether... I don't know. He's not very big, And yeah. I don't know if his skill set really translates to the physicality of the Premier League game, but... I guess we'll see.
We can appreciate him from afar. It's a wait and see. All right, so Newcastle is looking like really great value. We make a big jump in the alphabet, Josh, to Southampton.
We do, and they have a new kit. Are you seeing this little? Yeah, this little
it's very white. It's very white on the screen. You're used to seeing those red and white stripes.
Yeah.
For Southampton, I do appreciate how Southampton is not precious about the striped. Yeah. Home kits, like they'll mess around with the colors.
I'm just going to go ahead and suggest that we kind of just skip by Southampton here, right? There are no surprises in the Southampton squad. It's kind of everything's where you expect it to be. It seems like Gabbiadini is a little expensive at $7 million.
Yeah, he does. He does seem expensive at that price. I mean, I guess we point out Virgil van Dijk at 5.5 with the potential for him moving to a team like Liverpool and. And that could turn into a valuable prospect.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, Van Dijk at Liverpool or a similar Premier League squad, great value. But, I wonder if Southampton really is just going to put their foot down here, right? I mean, at some point they have to worry about their reputation, with their fans as being just a straight-up selling club. Despite the fact that it's really worked out fine for them, they're not, getting closer to winning the championship. But, they're, they feel like a competitive squad that makes cup finals and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of the envy of every other mid-table squad, right? Maybe outside of Everton.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is funny. It looks like their price, not a single price change between this and last season.
Yeah. Spurs.
Okay, so I think I felt like you were going to be right about Dele Alli at $10 million, and I feel like he's priced to sell at 9.5. I love that.
Totally.
Was shocked that Erickson got the same bump, but what I do like about that is there's an equal choice to make. I think we were saying in the last pod, if Erickson was at all cheaper over Dele Alli, it's a no-brainer. Take Erickson every time.
Yeah. At the same price, I think you got to go Alli. I agree.
Yep. So then there's Harry Kane. You were slagging me off for predicting all these prices at 0.5, but here we are. It's all 0.5.
I know you're right. 12.5, it's completely reasonable. The only reason I would even hesitate to bring Kane in is because they're playing in Wembley next year, and I'm a little worried about what kind of adjustments that it's going to take. Is it going to be harder for him to score goals? They're basically not playing home matches next year,
He's famously a slow starter, too. Has he never scored a goal in August? Isn't that the deal?
Is that right? So that's it. It gives me a little pause. He finished the season so well last year that, as of last May, it would have been unthinkable not to have Kane in your team.
I still think it's kind of unthinkable just at the start to not have him on our team, but we've just got done discussing lots of other big strikers like Lukaku, Aguero, Jesus. It gets very tricky to fit another. So you kind of have to decide who you're going to be right out of the gate, and I think logic and history would say Kane could be an essential the first month or so, and I agree. The Wembley thing is another monkey wrench.
My only other thought here is that I feel like Walker is a little expensive at 6.5 for a guy who kind of was out of the squad by the time that the season ended.
Yeah, I I guess you read the tea leaves there that he's on his way out, but there's not been a lot of news with him. But so the fact that the headline is Dani Alves is going to PSG, and some people had predicted he might move to Man City. So maybe that leaves a Kyle Walker-sized hole in Pep's plans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at Man City's defender list right now in the Premier League, I think it's like only four players listed.
Yeah, so I think that's likely, and I think that 6.5 is a Manchester City price.
Sure.
I mean, Spurs a phenomenal squad. It's also a fair Spurs price, but Vertonghen and Toby at 6.0, more appealing.
Stoke City, this is another squad where there's not a lot to say here, right? it's the same squad as last year, right? Is there anyone new on this team? I don't know where Sobi new?
Sobi, you don't know about Ramadan Sobi. He became a fixture.
I have no idea why Jack Butland is 5 million instead of just 4.5. Like, why is he 5 million? Like, what?
He's still reaping the benefits from that insane season he had two seasons ago.
Same price as Tom Heaton. I don't really get that. The forward line looks awful. I assume they're going to buy somebody. Okay, let's move on. This whole squad is making me depressed. Let's move on to Swansea.
If Arnie leaves, it could be a rough season for Stoke. All right, Sigurdsson at 8.5 at Swansea. Josh, what are your feelings there?
That is the price of the site is assuming that he's moving to another squad.
Right? Yeah, that's his Everton price.
Yeah, that's his Everton price because 8.5 is insane for Swansea.
Well, was he 7 last season? 7.5.
I think he was like 6.5 to start, and then I think he got up to like 7.5.
Good for you, Siggy. Out there making moves.
Tammy Abraham is a player that we've talked about. We talked about him a little bit on last week's podcast.
5.5, that's fun.
Yeah, he's a loany player, kind of in the Loftus-Cheek category, but he's scored a ton of goals last year in the championship. Llorente now looks like he probably will be on the he will be able to start at the beginning of the season, so that does damper my enthusiasm for Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have to see whether I can't remember if Swansea played a two striker formation last year. I don't think they did, but maybe if Abraham is
I mean they might have tried if they had more than one striker.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because AU and Llorente both played at the same time, right? A little bit, Jordan Ayew?
Yes, that is correct. I think they just didn't have a lot of luck getting everyone firing on all cylinders at once. But what do you think about Llorente at 7.5? Does that feel fair to you?
I guess so. I mean, he really did score a lot of goals last year. You know, and then he scored 15 goals. You know, I mean, that's 7 seems like a reasonable. He's getting kind of old though, right? I think he's like 34 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. The player that I like here is Fabianski at 4.5 million. He was 5 last year, and he was just a little too expensive.
Yeah, I agree. I do like him. I like him as a man. He's a good man.
He does sound like a good guy, right? All right, Watford.
Okay, man, we're really getting to the end here, aren't we, Josh?
We are, Brandon. It's been a fun 5-hour podcast, but I'm starting to fade.
Big man, Kapoo, 5.5. You got to respect that.
That's true. God, this whole I guess we have one. There's only one 6 million player, and that's Perea, who is a great player when he's healthy.
Yes, he is. He's got that sort of fancy Serie A way of playing, doesn't he?
I guess Tridini actually is 6.5. So you have one 6.5 million player.
Halabas, everyone's favorite yellow card magnet and corner kick taker at 5.0. That could.
Sure.
I don't know. I feel like all the excitement from him is drained away when you price him up.
Yeah, I agree. If you're a Watford fan, let us know who we should take in this midfield, because I'm looking right now at Hughes and Cleverley and Burgess and Success.
The way you said Burgess, like Burgess.
Burgess. I liked Isaac Success last year. They actually played him a little bit as a forward, I think. But it didn't quite happen for him. So maybe this is Isaac's year.
I think Okaka comes back and he says, still my league. It's 0.2% ownership right now.
It's Okaka's year.
It's always Okaka time.
All right, West Brom.
Yeah, here we are. What do we say about West Brom? So where did we end up with Jay Rodriguez? He was reclassed as a forward, which seems very appropriate.
Right, right. He ended up at $6 million, which I guess is fine.
West Brom is so how much longer? It's like, it's a great TV show so long as the whole cast stays together. But as soon as you start like dropping in new characters, things might fall apart. And I do fear that West Brom's storied defense, like as soon as you start stripping away guys like Gareth McCauley, right, who is now officially like 42 years old.
I love the way they just, there's only four defenders listed, right? Because Brunt got moved to the midfield. And it's like they just shrugged their shoulders. They're like, you know what? They're all five. You know, mm-hmm. just like take a shot. You know, pick one of those four.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We'll just give all the goals to McCauley anyway. So what's the difference?
What do you think about Ben Foster at $4.5 million?
You know, I think you were talking about Fabianski, and it could be a coin flip, but I think I might be a little more interested in Ben Foster as a goalkeeper rotation.
I got so burned with Foster last year. You know, I had him the second half of the year, and I felt like I barely got a clean sheet out of him.
It's true. It's like I was saying, I feel like the defensive stability is sort of fading away at West Brom. Yeah. But maybe they're an early start of the season team and they have a little more gusto then. So but I agree. Maybe Swansea is the team that is more up and coming, more youthful, and they'll grow into it, and West Brom is just fading away.
West Ham, Brandon, final team. We nailed Zabaleta's price at $5 million. The only Boom. Price he could have been, right?
Absolutely. There was, wild that we could have predicted a defender coming in at 5.0. We pat ourselves on the back there.
Right. Jose Font also at $5 million. That's a pretty good price. Cresswell at $5 million. And I said this on last week's podcast, but and I said if Cresswell was the same price as all the other guys, you got to go Cresswell, and I stick to that because Cresswell can do a little bit of everything. A little set piece delivery. I could score some goals. He took a little step back last year, but I actually think he had some injuries. I'm looking at his minutes played last year versus the 2 years before that, and he actually played about 1,200 less minutes last year.
Yep.
So I think that Cresswell at $5 million is a really interesting option. Unfortunately, it's a very tough start of the season for West Ham. So I don't think I'm going to actually have any of those players to start off my season.
Your two challenges this season, Josh, should you choose to accept them. One, get Andy Carroll during the brief window in which he's healthy, because it's 6.0. You got to like that.
Right.
And your second challenge is to get Mikel Antonio at 7.5 during the brief window in which he can't stop scoring goals.
Right. I waited too long last year. I brought him in when he stopped scoring.
He did. He got too hot too early, and everyone he was one of those situations where you thought you'd just ride it out, and some painful weeks there.
You thought you were in for a Mahrez level run, and it just did not happen.
Yeah, Antonio he's creeping up into that Sigurdsson price territory, and it's hard to say if he's earned it or not. But I do like if Andy Carroll can get himself healthy.
Oh my God, I do not talk yourself into Carroll. Do not bring in Carroll. If Andy Carroll can get himself healthy, is the biggest cliche in sports at this point.
So Andy Carroll is going to be nobody's going to have him in their draft teams right away, right? Because he's not healthy.
Right.
He's going to be one of the more popular waiver wire players in the draft game, I think, when it's announced he might start.
Yeah, that is true. And I guess we'll talk about the draft game next week, by the way, when it launches. I don't know if we're going to do any. I mean, the podcast, we might talk about waiver wire players on the podcast, in upcoming episodes. But I don't know if we're going to offer a draft option. It's really a smaller thing. You know, I mean, an ideal draft league is under 10, you know, closer to 8. It doesn't really doesn't fit really for like a public league, I think. I mean,
it's a very,
we're not opposed to it or anything.
No, but I think you're right. It's a more intimate yay.
Yeah.
Don't. And you want to sort of be in constant contact with other managers in your draft league, because it is so detail oriented. There are actual transfer windows opening up and closing in real time.
If I could offer one suggestion, it's that if you're going to do the draft league, don't ask anyone to join your draft league if they're the kind of person who stops playing the game around game week 20. Which is true for, in my experience, about one third of every league is full of people who just stop playing, right? About 20 weeks
totally.
Of the season. And how frustrating would it be if one of those players had Lukaku? And there's no inter-team transfers allowed. So you just no one has Lukaku for the last 20 weeks, and that doesn't seem very fun. So I think you do want players who are, you know. Are people who are like really active, you know, to if you're going to do the league.
Totally. All right. So we have just like a boatload more content coming up in the coming weeks, just previewing the season. Isn't that right?
That is right. And I'm excited about it. And, you know, it's actually, the podcast gets easier to do as we go, because we're kind of like, we're just talking about impressions right now.
We don't
now.
Know anything we're, right
yeah,
now.
We don't know anything. Exactly. So
we're just learning how to pronounce the players' names at this point.
Right, exactly. So I'll say it again, two things. Three things. One is if you enjoy the podcast, please tell your friends about the podcast, because, you know, we're really trying, especially early on in the season, we want as many people to listen to the podcast as possible. You know, we're not doing this for money or anything like that, but it is sort of fun to just keep kind of, you know, growing our audience as the weeks go by. So share the podcast, you can follow us on social media. You can go to twitter.com/hailcheaters to find our Twitter feed, facebook.com/alwayscheating to friend us on Facebook, or follow, you know, whatever. To join our page, right?
You like it.
You'd like to like the page.
When's the last time you were on the internet, Josh?
it's been about two decades.
You were still waiting for that new AOL disc to come in the mail.
I don't like the information superhighway. I just don't have the time, Brandon.
Sure, who does these days?
All right. So anyway, So find us. You can also you learn more about the Head to Head League and other things on the Patreon page, which is patreon.com/alwayscheating.
Lest you forget, Josh, all of this information is available to our listeners in one easy stop, alwayscheating.com. That's our website.
That's right.
And if you want to keep listening, please subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast, and rate and review. That is always definitely approved on our end.
I approve this message, and I'm very jet-lagged, Brandon. I am going to go take a well-deserved 10-hour sleep.
Take a nice rest, Josh. And to all our listeners, just lay your head down now. It's been a great podcast. You deserve it. And we'll see you next time.
Brandon, I'll talk to you next week.
Poku forever.